Welcome back to the Thinking Tree, a podcast to help believers renew their minds and reform their hearts. I'm Adam Sanchez without Jeff No today, but sitting with my lovely wife, Jessie.
Oh, hey.
Good to have you, sweetie. We are starting off this fall series of the Thinking Tree with some broader topics, and Lord willing, we'll get Jeff back here sometime in the future, taking on some more specific things like liturgy and church history. Those will be fun. Mm-hmm. But today we're talking about being overwhelmed and thinking through principles of addressing that feeling of being overwhelmed. So let's describe some circumstances here. Oftentimes we get to the end of a semester. We have a lot of students here at TMU.
Yeah, we do.
And they get to the end of a semester in the fall or in the spring and finals comes up. Mm-hmm. And the stresses set in, the papers that are due and mm-hmm. the studying that has to take place. And so they're overwhelmed. They're right. trying to take care of their normal responsibilities. Some of them may work. They want to have friends. All kinds of things are going on in life. They're older students, and they're getting closer to, you know, making those adulting decisions, maybe serious relationships and things like that. And so they're overwhelmed. We think about the start of the school year. Syllabus shock yeah. can be a big thing, yeah. right, for students of various ages. That can be a real thing for parents, too. If they see a syllabus for their kids or kind of the schedule for the fall, that can be a stress. And even I'm thinking right now in our church, we have several members who are caring for older folks.
Yeah.
Being caretakers and mm-hmm. Those burdens of making decisions and being on call. Sometimes, you know, being there, you know, remaining and providing that constant care. So we're thinking of situations and, you know, life seasons, mm-hmm. But some things could be, you know, temporary. You know, you think of the student who's studying, the test is going to come.
Right.
And then it's going to end.
Right.
But there's some things that are a little longer term, like being a caretaker where you don't know exactly where the end is inside, or parents of young
right,
ones.
Right, parents of littles,
you
yeah.
know, how exhausting those first few years can be. And when
it's
you
a long season.
You add children upon children, and that can be right. more tiring for mom and dad as well. So some things can be longer term. Some things can be more short term in being temporary. But what we're trying to do here on this episode is address the reality of being overwhelmed. Being overwhelmed happens. We shouldn't ignore mm-hmm. it. We shouldn't pretend like it's not real, bury our head in the sand. But we want to address it biblically. There are some biblical principles, biblical ideas that can address the reality of being overwhelmed. Mm. But we also want to give some practical encouragements.
Right.
Applying the scriptures in daily ways, regular ways, to deal with those feelings of being overwhelmed. Anything else you wanted to say on the situational side?
No, I think that's good. There's a lot of variety of life stages and circumstances that this topic could apply to. So we're going to mention a few examples, but we're going to try to keep it broad on purpose so that it can apply to a lot of those different circumstances.
Yeah. You know, even right now, I'm thinking of the timing of when we're recording this, and there's some pretty big things that have happened on the global stage
yeah.
and on the national stage. And those things can be very disheartening. Mm-hmm. They can be earth-shaking from a worldly sense.
Yeah.
Believers shouldn't have their world shaken by these things, but they can feel that way.
Sure.
When there can be political turmoil, or there can be very wicked things that happen in the news. And then at the global stage, you know, wars and rumors yeah. of wars and yeah. things like that, they can be very unsettling. Mm-hmm. But scripture still applies to the believer in those circumstances.
Amen.
So it's not that those things are different or outside of mm-hmm. being overwhelmed with a personal project or something that's going on, mm-hmm. but it's the same principle of how do we deal with our anxieties? How do we deal with our stresses? How do we deal right. with feeling like we can't make that next step?
Yeah. Yeah.
So the first thing is a common one that people hear. They've heard 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, we're to cast all mm-hmm. our anxieties on him because he cares for us. And I love that verse specifically because it's so particular. You're not guessing at what you're called to do.
Right.
When you cast something, this idea is you're tossing it over. You're right. not holding on to it anymore.
Right.
So the idea that Peter's giving us, and that's really the Lord through Peter, is giving us there, is that we're not to hold on to those things that make us anxious.
Right.
So when we look at, you know, the political stage today, or we look at the concerns at a global level today, those concerns can feel weighty, but
right.
we cast them to him.
Right.
When we have that test that is impending and we feel like we didn't study enough,
right,
and we need to study more, but there's only so many hours in the day, right, and so I can't, and I need to finish the paper as well, or the three other papers, and there's not enough hours to do all that. At a certain point, we have to let go.
Right.
And the casting is that letting go. It's tossing away those things that we think we're holding on to and giving them back to the Lord. It doesn't mean being unfaithful.
Right.
It doesn't mean that we don't care about the things at right. all. What it means is we cast the anxiety to him. The Lord is going to do what he's going to do. Mm-hmm. And he cares. Mm-hmm. And if he cares, then we can trust him.
Right. Yeah, that the stressing of he cares for you is that undergird. That's what undergirds it, is the trust. I also appreciate the word picture, because casting feels like a very hefty thing to do, right? There's some oomph to it. And what do we want to do when we feel anxious? Like, even if you think physically, like my fingers are curling and my shoulders are tensing, like you're keeping it in. And so even the picture, God is just so good to draw it this way, that we're to cast it. We're to throw it from us. We're to let go of it. And we're letting go of it into the hands of someone who made us, redeemed us, knows us, cares for us, and is in control. What a beautiful, comforting thing that is.
Amen. There's another passage I like to go to encourage, out of Philippians chapter 4. It's a common one. There's four key components from verses 4 through 9. Mm-hmm. You have this beautiful passage right before Paul goes on to talk about contentment in all things, actually, which is another thought that goes along with being overwhelmed, or should go along with renewing mm-hmm. your mind when you're overwhelmed. But before he gets there, he mentions these four key topics. First is rejoice in the Lord. And that's a hard thing when we're in anxiety.
When
so
you feel anxious, rejoice.
We should read it. Yeah. We still need to read it to be reminded that we are to rejoice in the Lord always, not sometimes, always. Uh-huh. And always means always. Mm-hmm. And he repeats it just in case we didn't get it. He says, again, I will say rejoice. And it's a command. So that is an exhortation. It is a command that we are to do this. That can be hard in tough seasons. And you think about, James calls us to count it all joy when we encounter trials of various kinds. That's right. Hard, but we need to start with that premise. But that premise, he even goes on to explain a bit more in verse 5. He says, let your considerate spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Mm-hmm. And so he gives a foundation point. The Lord is near. So really, the first principle is right awareness, to remember that the Lord is near. Even we just referenced in 1 Peter 5 that God cares. He cares for us. So he cares and he's near. That's where we need to start. He's not aloof. He's not like the false gods. You know, he's not like Baal, where he might be relieving himself, or he's busy, he's or busy. He may not hear. No, our God knows and he cares and he is near. And so we need to remember that right awareness. Second thing, we're called to pray. He says, with everything in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. So we are to pray, and we're to pray with thanksgiving. So there's a particular component of that prayer where it's not just asking, the petition is there, but it's asking with thanksgiving. So what does that look like? You're not demanding, as a believer, we're not demanding, God, do this for me. We're saying, God, thank you for these things, and would you do this? I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
you want, let's say, a medication to work. You know, you're ill and you need some medication to help out. And so you go to get that amoxicillin or whatever, and you're asking, you know, Lord, would this work and help me to recover? But also, thank you for reminding me in my illness that I am a created being who is not perfect, who is dependent in this sin-soaked world and in a body ravaged by sin, dependent upon you for your grace. And so help me to remember that even when it's hard.
Right.
Even when my throat is on fire and my fever is, you know, spiking and all those things. You are still good.
Right.
And so you make that prayer that the medication would work, very practical prayer, and then you make it with thanksgiving.
Right.
Thanking God for his goodness in the midst, even of the trial. So that right awareness, Lord is near, then you pray with thanksgiving. Then he goes on, he says, be anxious for nothing and not one thing, you know, as he said there, but the peace of God is going to guard your hearts and your minds. And he says, whatever's true and dignified and right and pure and lovely, commendable, anything excellent or worthy of praise, consider or think or dwell on these things. So right awareness, the Lord is near, right praying, pray with thanksgiving, and then we have right thinking. Dwell on what's true and right and praiseworthy. Make sure that your mind is set on things that aren't lies.
Right.
How often have people found themselves in the slough of despond, so to speak, from Pilgrim's Progress, because they're thinking of the lies.
Right.
Thinking of things that aren't true, thinking of the maybes. And right. when we think about anxiety and being overwhelmed, often it's not about realized danger or fear. Yeah. It's about the potential.
Right.
It's about, well, what if? Or if mm-hmm. this happens, then this will happen, then this will happen. We start working ourselves down a decision tree
right.
that has never actually occurred, and we spiral and we get very overwhelmed to the point where we can't even make a good decision
right.
where we are. So we need to have right thinking. So right awareness, right praying, right thinking. And the final one is right action.
Yep. You got to do it.
To follow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you need to do it. So you go back to verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. That's what we're called to do. We're called to be anxious for nothing. That's an active response.
Right.
And then verse 9 says, the things you've learned and heard and seen in me. So Paul's saying in him, practice these things. These now, things. Earlier in chapter 3, he even says, those who have been a faithful example, follow them. So this encouragement is, what you learn from others in faith, you're to follow
right.
and imitate.
Right.
That's the imitation principle that goes back to 1 Corinthians 11:1, imitate me as I imitate Christ. We are to be imitators of God even, which we're called in the New Testament. So in all of this, the overwhelmed, the simple way I would say, right awareness, right praying, right thinking, right action, it's way harder to do
right.
than it is to say, but let's start there. Start with a biblical recognition of who God is, that he's near, that he's not far away, that we are to be thankful even in the hardship, and we're to think about the right things and then act and follow faithful examples, not because the end result is going to be exactly what we want, but because the end result will be exactly what God wants, and yeah. we probably have something to learn in the midst of it.
Yeah, I love this passage so much because it's such a full picture of how God's word is meant to instruct us, right? That verse, a wanna verse, and sometimes used as like a Band-Aid, right? If someone's feeling anxious and you've had someone say, oh, Philippians says, don't be anxious about anything, like, there you go, call me in the morning. And it makes scripture seem trite and useless when we pull it out of its context. But when you actually read it in the context, oh, Paul is literally giving us a step-by-step and a why and a here's do this and think about this and then do it, even if you don't feel like it. And the promise is that there's peace, right? And in that passage, it's 3, 4, 5 verses, the peace of God is mentioned twice,
mm-hmm.
twice. And that isn't that what we're looking for when we feel anxious, when we feel overwhelmed. We're looking for peace. And God is like, I've got it. I've got it right here. And Paul walks us through exactly what that looks like.
Amen. Now, as we think about practical encouragements, if we're walking with somebody who's feeling overwhelmed, we want them to apply scripture. Mm-hmm. So we want them to not just know it. We do want them to know it, but we want them to live it. We want that right action, that fourth step, right? In remembering our identity and knowing who God is. So as you think about right actions then, practical encouragements, one of the first ones I would say is slow down.
Yeah.
I've said this many times to people. I'd say, hurry up and slow down.
You are the pause man.
I like hitting the pause button.
Can we just stop for a sec?
You know, the reason why it's so helpful to slow down is that we need to take our thoughts captive. We need to bring them to the Lord.
Mm.
So often we let our minds run and they race, but they yeah. don't race in the right way.
They're unprofitable and they're racing. Yeah.
Exactly. We think about potential, you know, outcomes. I talked about decision tree earlier, but sometimes in this day and age, because of the Matrix and other things, people talk about alternate realities and universes and things like that,
Mandela effect.
Which are not real. There is one reality, and that's the one that we live in. There's a spiritual realm. That's a different story in a different podcast episode for another time. But in terms of one reality, there's only one.
Right.
We need to slow down because we often think that we can consider the future perfectly.
Right.
But yet we know practically
right.
we can't.
Right.
So it's a crazy thing. We make our plans, and you know, Proverbs is really clear, like the heart of man plans his ways. So we make our plans, we endeavor to do things, and yet how often does God thwart us?
Right.
I've never met somebody who said, I always got my way. I never met anyone who said, oh, God always does what I wanted to do.
My wise plan was always God's wise plan.
Yeah, it doesn't happen that way. Oftentimes I hear the exact opposite,
right.
and yet I also hear God's stories of, and yet God taught me this.
Right.
God was teaching me to not trust in my strength or
right.
my flesh, things like that. So the first encouragement I give is pause. Just slow down.
Yep.
We need to take our thoughts captive and we need to pray. We need to ask ourselves, okay, are the things that I'm thinking, are they true things? Are
right.
they things that are helping build up? Are they things that are helping me draw near to the Lord? The Lord is near. Am I drawing near to him?
Right.
Because he's right here, but he could be right next to you and you could have the blinders on.
Right.
And not be paying attention. So that slowing down is to help reorient what the moment is about. The next thing, you know, I would encourage is we're applying scripture. We bring scripture to bear. We talk about 1 Peter 5 and Philippians 4. I know, do you have another one that you wanted to mention for people?
In terms of that, I mean, more like encouragements, just remembering, because I think that oftentimes when we would say, or at least for myself, and like young moms would be more the demographic that I'm interacting with, and there's a lot of overwhelm there. But to distinguish that it's feeling overwhelmed, right? We're going to use our feeling language, not I am overwhelmed, but I feel overwhelmed. And then asking the question like, why, what is that? And in the middle of saying, I feel overwhelmed, planting our feet firmly on the truths that we know from scripture. And so when we were first talking, the passage that came to my mind was 2 Peter chapter 1 that says, His divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. So if I believe that God's word is true, and I believe that God has given me what I need for life and godliness, and I feel like I can't in this moment, then where is the disconnect? Like, are the things that I'm trying to do, are they not all godly? Are they not at all, should I not be doing some of those things? Like, it can be hard, but we don't get to the point of we can't. To say like I can't stands in opposition of what I know to be true from God's word. Are you thinking 1 John 5? The ladies know I love this. I keep coming back to this passage, that this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So God has given us, when he gives us something to do, he also gives us the grace and strength to do it. So if I can't do it, I need to take a hard look at myself. Am I doing it my own strength? Am I not doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Right? Need to question it. But that reality can feel very overwhelming. And so coming back to the truths of scripture, like I said, planting my feet feels like solid ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I appreciate that you're emphasizing asking yourself questions.
Yes.
Because when we approach God's word, it can be easy to just say, hey, take these two verses and see me in the morning, like you said earlier, where it's like, oh, okay, rejoice in the Lord always. I guess I just need to rejoice.
Not so helpful.
But it's good to go to God's word and say, okay, so God's word has told me, he's given me all that I need.
Right.
Do I feel that way? No, I do not. Why do I not feel that way?
Why are my feelings not
and
aligned?
Maybe a why question doesn't work. So you can say, okay, in what things am I not feeling equipped for what responsibilities that I have, do I not feel like I can get them done?
Right.
What are the things that I need to do? What are the things I feel expected to do?
Right.
I mean, you can start working through, you know, what your actual responsibilities are and what you need to take care of, asking yourself questions, and then still going back to God's word and saying, okay, so has he helped me do what I need to do?
Right.
Or am I forced to sin? And the reality is, we're never forced to sin.
Nope.
There's no biblical passage that gives any sense in which we have no other way to go other than to sin.
Right.
There's always a choice to either worship God or to go towards sin.
Yeah.
So even when we don't feel like there's a way forward, there is a way forward. We just may not see it yet.
Right.
And so if we've gone to God's word, if we've slowed down, we're still struggling, another thing that we can do practically is to seek good counsel.
Yeah.
We go to other believers who are, whether they're learned in the scriptures or just very mature and practical living, we don't want to go to people who are just going to make us feel good. I think that's one of the dangers outing.
We shouldn't commiserate for people who feel overwhelmed in the same way we do.
It's not helpful. And there's a lot of groups, I know you're speaking tongue in cheek, but there are a lot of groups, whether they're on Facebook or different places, where people do that.
And they go commiserate together. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And it's really just I don't want to speak too unhelpfully, but to me, it's like a toilet bowl of feelings. But I describe it this way because everything just swirls down and it doesn't bring you up to the Lord.
Fair.
And I think that's so dangerous when all we do is complain. That's why even when you look at Philippians 4, when Paul gives that encouragement that the Lord is near, he says, pray with thanksgiving. He's helping to orient our hearts that there are things we should be thankful for. He's writing this from prison.
Right.
He's not writing this from, you know, a place of a palace or anything. He's been in prison. He's been ministering to his captors, to the Praetorian Guard. Some of them are listening to the gospel and responding, which is fantastic. I know they're a captive audience, which is wonderful. And so he's taking that opportunity of hardship and difficulty and saying, for the sake of the Lord, I can choose joy. And that's why the contentment passage right after this is so helpful. about knowing the secret.
Right.
That he knows the secret of how to get along with humble means or in abundance, and it's he can do all things through Christ. And so for the believer, what I want to encourage is that they don't just commiserate and bring all their complaints together. And, you know, if that's been normal, if that's been something maybe you catch yourself doing at times, there is no better day to repent than today.
Yeah.
And to change and to say, okay, Lord, I don't need to do that anymore. Instead of going and griping and complaining, I need to go to your word and I need to pray. And then I need to seek out believers who are going to give me good words to renew my mind, not to just gossip or complain and gripe, but words to renew my mind. And they're going to encourage me to go in a helpful way. That's what they're going to do.
Right.
So when we're seeking counsel, those are the people that we should go to. And I'm not just saying that as a plug for counseling ministry. It's just mature believers you want to go to. And we have many in our church I would encourage. But of course, you know, pastors, elders, deacons, those are the ones, you know, you think of first, ministry leaders. You'd want to encourage people to go to them to follow the Lord. And if they don't have a good answer for you, and maybe it's not just a good answer, maybe they don't have an answer for you. It's not that they don't have, you know, anything to say, but maybe they say, you know what, that's a tough one. Maybe you should go to so-and-so, you know, then, you know, listen to that too.
Right.
And be willing, you know, some things are a little more difficult and take a little more nuance to answer and to address. And so there's not it's not a bad thing to go to other believers who are maybe more experienced in dealing with hard things. But in all of that, when we're seeking counsel, the whole point is to point us back to Christ,
right,
to point us back to respond in a Christ-like manner where we're not going to be navel-gazing and focusing on being overwhelmed, but really the outworking when you recognize you're overwhelmed is going to be to love others.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be to build up, not tear down. And it's going to be humility.
Yeah.
Those are going to be the things when you're feeling overwhelmed. It's going to be the outworking of it. That's what God's doing. Those are the things he's producing in you when you're overwhelmed. And those are wonderful things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It takes humility, right? That's a key thing. If you're overwhelmed, to ask somebody to ask you hard questions or even to ask for help, if that's what's necessary, which why are we so bad at that? We're really, if you turn the tables and someone asks me for help, I'm ready to help right away. But if I need to ask someone for help, I'm like, I don't want to inconvenience them. Like there's something broken in our thinking there. Like, it's okay. Like if you're feeling overwhelmed, run to God's word. There's help there. And then run to your church body because there's help there too.
That's good. All right, friends. Well, we pray this episode on being overwhelmed has helped you to renew your minds. Did I say that the right way?
Renew your minds and reform your heart.
See, it's been too many seasons. I forget what it is. You heard it right from my wife, the right way. So we'll catch you next time on The Thinking Tree.